Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Fully Blooming. Thank you so much for coming back and listening, and thank you for your ongoing support for this new season. It's really exciting to be back. And on the topic of excitement, I'm joined this week by Hedva, and I was drawn to her initially because of her work around excitement. As you all know, I am incredibly passionate about following what lights you up, what brings you joy, and in turn, what brings you excitement. And of course, it was a natural progression to have Hedva on the podcast, as this is what she is so passionate about, instilling within her clients, within her WhatsApp group that I'll share more details about. And we discuss how to connect to that excitement, how to rediscover that excitement if you feel that you've actually disconnected from it, which I know a lot of us go through phases in our lives where we definitely feel that. And Hedva has a really beautiful way of explaining what excitement is and where it comes from and how it is part of our life force energy, and it can really motivate and drive us to keep following our purpose, keep following our motivation and drive, and lead us to our most content, fulfilled and satisfied life. This episode is split into two again to break it down a little bit. We love to talk. So please come back next week for part two. Enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Fully Blooming. This week I've got the incredible Hedva. I'm going to briefly introduce her and then she's going to introduce herself. But I first was introduced to Hedva through her WhatsApp group, which I'll also share in the information below. And what really drew me to Hedva was her passion and her kind of motivation to share what excitement is in life. And it was the first time that I'd really heard someone talk so passionately about it. And it really struck a chord, because for me, it's all about joy and the intuition. But at the same time, there has to be a level of happiness and excitement to it. So I have done a session with Hedva. She also did a workshop all around money and wealth. And that also opened up so many doors. And I clearly remember how I felt afterwards and the kind of activation that I got from just being in that space with her. So yeah, of course I wanted her on the podcast to talk all things excitement. And Hedva is celebrating her birthday today. And so it all just worked out perfectly. We were meant to record this a couple of weeks ago, but it didn't work out. And of course it had to happen today. So welcome, Hedva, to Fully Blooming. Thank you so much for taking the time and for being on the podcast. And if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Wow. First of all, thank you so much. It's always nice to receive compliments, but when you hear it from such elegance, then the feeling just makes it, wow, I'm in the right place, doing the right thing for as much as I need to do. So yes, I am pretty excited. I actually went into Fully Bloom and I listened to your podcast when you invited me on, and I was so surprised and so happy that there is someone actually going ahead and tapping into the basics of what people are living. You know, you're not over the top. You're not trying to be all sophisticated. It's about hands down, holding emotions. What do you do with it? How do you express it? What, you know, how do you become a better version of yourself? And that's my passion. Mm-hmm. So I am an empowerment coach, and I'm a therapist and a healer, and I use all three of them at the same time. I went through a journey of not knowing who I was, because I didn't want to push people away, and I wanted to serve the whole world. So, and I couldn't do it because healing, like, not everybody likes that word. Not everybody likes a therapist, but I've settled into empowerment coaching because I think in essence, that's who I am. I like to empower people. I like to have enthusiasm about how to get there. And I have that ability to feel one potential that you have, one successful potential. There are a million potentials that you have, but that one successful one, and that brings in joy and excitement inside of me, which leads me to asking all the questions and leads me to trying to create an environment so you can feel what it feels like. So yes, I'm very passionate about helping people become a better version, because I think when you are a little bit better than you were before, your life is different. And we all struggle. So I studied a technique called life alignment, which is an alternative energetic medicine healing technique. It's basically almost like a doctor, but on an alternative level, working on the energies of life. And I use it to my advantage to help people become a better version. I don't make that my go-to, as in that's what I do, because I'm more passionate about the actual changing of the vibrations and the frequencies. But I definitely is in the world of energies, so that's what I do.
And I think that's what was attracted me to you as well. It's this very, like, you just cut to the core of it, and there's kind of no bullshit. Like, okay, yes, you're saying this, but what do you actually mean? And it was just very direct, which I loved, because I think there's a lot in this industry or space of kind of the airy fairy and things, but for you, excuse me, it was very direct to the point. Like, you also, your sessions are also much shorter than I've had before. And it was, just cut the crap, Ola. What do you actually mean?
Yeah.
Like, but as we were saying before, I think you embody this excitement. This is, of course, it's not 24/7, this kind of high vibe, high frequency, but I think that's it. You teach from your own experience. And I'd love you to delve into how, I remember the first time you explained it to me, this kind of excitement and how it's connection to your soul. So if you could delve into that, because I think it was so simple and so obvious in a way.
Well, a lot of people ask me, where do I get my knowledge from? You know, where am I learning all of this from? And I've always been a truth looker, a truth finder. I don't quite trust. It's not that I don't agree. I just, me personally, on my journey, I want to find, if I could talk to God, I would. You know, that's who I want to talk to if I could. But that's a possibility that is difficult. So I study from a lot of channels, and one of them is Bashar. I'm not going to go too deeply, or even, I'm just mentioning because I think it's important to let people know where I'm getting my knowledge from. It's not that it's not mine. Once it's out there, it's for everybody. And this is something I really preach. Don't be afraid to use other people's teachings as your own, because it's not anybody's. It belongs to everybody. And that's where the excitement comes in, is that, you know, we suffer from imposter syndrome, where we think that we need to, I don't know, create things for ourselves from scratch. But so the excitement part is, for me, about a year ago, I wanted to, I was bursting with this idea of wanting to share knowledge, but I felt like I couldn't share anything. And I didn't believe that anybody would listen to me. I got to a point where I popped, and I opened up, I sent messages to all my friends and family on my telephone book, and asking them if they want to join me on a WhatsApp group. And I told them it was about spirituality and sharing, and, you know, about being in a community where we can just be as one. And I didn't believe that anybody would actually tap into that. But at the end of the week, there was 140 people that had joined. Now, to another person, it's not a big deal. But for me, it was a huge expression of what it feels like to pop with a creation. And I was so desperate that that excitement pushed me out of me and into a creation that then had a success that was fabulous for me. And that success then led to me being more out there, sharing more of who I am, and more people started joining, and some people left and more people joined. But I had a platform where I could express my excitement of life, all the teachings that I had. And that, for me, was beginning stages of knowing what an excitement feels like. And I was so afraid. I was so afraid, but it pushed me out. It popped me out. And that popping was like, I want to share this with people. Because everybody feels like me. We're all afraid to start something. We're all afraid to do the thing we want to do. And the excitement of wanting to share was like, yes, yes, yes. And then I met Bashar. And he's a channel by Daryl Anker. And he happened to be talking about excitement. And I thought to myself, wow, this is not, and it resonated. And then I decided, okay, fine, I'm going to teach it now. So excitement is about, we all have this ability to come up with an idea. We all have creations, thoughts in our minds and us in our heads. I'd like to create a cake. I want to be able to go to a party. I want to go and study. I want to have this business. I want to do a podcast. All these creations are all in our head. They come through a thought. But if you leave it at a thought in your mind, it stays there. And in fact, it actually disappears because it goes to somebody else in energy form that would like that thought. But if you keep that thought and you start working it and thinking, well, what'll happen if I had it? And you start feeling what it feels to have that creation, you start visualizing it without even paying any attention. You visualize wanting to create this thing. And before you know it, if it's exciting, then you start having that excitement coming up. And it's a feeling that you get, even when we're speaking now, I can feel it in my torso going up and down. That excitement then leads you to planning. And that planning leads you to wanting to actually physically create it. And when you create it, then you're in that loop of thinking and feeling and creating and thinking and feeling and creating. But the idea here is that once you've got that going, stay in that feeling of excitement. So if you make money, for example, loads of it, it feels like I've got nothing. So it's so nice to think and visualize and desire the money, all this money, loads of money in your lounge. And as you open up boxes and money coming out, and you open up the fridge and money is pouring out, you can get excited because it's juvenile, but it's fun. And you feel what it feels like. The universe doesn't know the difference between you having that money or you not having that money. It only recognizes that expression of excitement. But what we do is now we want to plan to see how we're going to make that money, how we're going to create all that money. It's not our job. The brain is not created in order to also control how you're going to get the money. It's only created to feel the excitement, to create, to plan, to feel that excitement and to reference from the past. But it's not about controlling it. The control part comes from fifth, from the higher self. This is the intuition that we're talking about. This is the that sense of knowing who, what your journey really looks like in the for you in this lifetime. It knows it, all the potentials. Your one little thought about how to make money is so tiny in comparison to what the higher self can offer you. But the, if we and be, but we don't know it. We don't know. I'm going to take this off because it's making me crazy. We don't know that we don't know how much of a potential we have. If we just stop controlling and allow the universe to feel this excitement, the universe will bring it to you like it did when I wanted to have this part of this workshop. It was just like, I just so desperately wanted. I pushed myself out and 140 people came in. And that was exciting. And it is exciting, even if it's 5 rand or 5 shekels or $5, it's exciting. So we tend to only follow our excitement, and then we want to create that creation. Wanting to control how it comes in is what messes up this magnificent feeling of excitement, because now you start stressing. You don't know where to go. You don't know who to speak. You don't know how to be. It's not your job to do that. It's never been your job. You were never ever meant to control what your excitement is all about, except feel it for as long as you can, for as much as you can, until you no longer can. And let the higher self, let the universe, let the God, let the whatever domination you want to use, bring it to you, because that's how it works. I'm not giving you my thinking. That's the mathematics of it. I'm so sure of it. I'm not even telling you this is like an idea. This is 1 + 1, and people don't know it enough. And that's the idea. Get the excitement going, know what you're desiring, and then follow it for as much as you can until you no longer can follow that experience. And then go to the next excitement. Yes, it's difficult. What'll happen if I'm not feeling great? What'll happen if I don't? Yeah, we'll all feel it. But as soon as you pick up that you're off the track, then you pick up your excitement again. What am I excited about? Now, so I know that there's the other element about excitement, that it's an innate feeling that we were born with. Just like we have eyes, we have hands, we have happy, we have sad. Excitement is a constant feeling that we all share the same feeling of. Your excitement is no different to my excitement. It's the same vibration. It's the same frequency. And what we do with that vibration and frequency is that we think we need to control it because the little mind says, yes, control, control. But in essence, we need to know it, feel it, let it go, and then have no expectations on the outcome. I'm going to say it again. Have no expectations on the outcome.
Mm.
Now, I know, I can already feel you thinking, how do you do that? Well, this world, this journey that we're on is about discovering both sides of the coin. Always. This is the language of this world. You're coming in for experiences. If you experience black, you're going to have to experience white. If you experience what it feels like to have that excitement and you've got the desire and you've got the vision and you've got the excitement, now you know what that feels like. Now you have to let it go and feel what it feels like not to have it and trust that you are going to have it because you're feeling the excitement. That's the guarantee that we have. The guarantee is that your higher self is going, or the universe is going to present you with what you want, what you're feeling. Let it go. Trust it will come. Let it go. It will come. It will come. It will come. I don't know how else. You've got to go through the process of trying to trust it. It will come. It will come. And have no expectations. Let it go. Have a cup of tea. Have a coffee. Go away. It should be good enough that you created it in your head, that you felt what it felt like, that you planned it out, that you had the desire, and that you could see yourself having it in the now moment. It should be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
The universe does not know the difference between what's in your head and what you're waiting, what happened. There is anything like that. It's only what you have in your head. It will give you what you have.
Mm.
But Chedva, what happens? Last year, last month, I had this idea, and now all of a sudden I have to owe people money, and now all of a sudden bad things are happening. I thought I'm committing myself to this excitement, but bad is still happening. Well, sweetheart, you created it then. It still has to come. You still have to collect what you created. So don't be so hard on yourself if you are in this new program or new process of wanting to follow your excitement and shit hits the fan still, because you created that in your thinking, in your desire. The same way you did now, you created the negativity as well. It has to be given by the law of order. It has to be given to you as well. So when you get it, you say, thank you. No, thank you. I don't like it. Go away. Send it back to the light. Give me what I'm looking for. Learn that both sides of the coin. Is that excitement enough?
I think you were reading my mind, because I was like, oh, and this. And yeah, I think there's almost that, especially when almost the idea is, or the dream or whatever, it feels almost too big. And I'm using quotation marks because nothing's too big. I think if you're not dreaming big enough, if you're not feeling uncomfortable, if you feel comfortable, then it's like, meh, there's no excitement to it, right? But if you're dreaming bigger, there's that. And I'm exactly at that point of, there are so many things almost, for me, it's almost, I can see it and it feels so right and I'm embodying it, but the universe is throwing me things being like, are you sure? Really? And my mind is, it's exhausting, and it's trying to see the light of the excitement going through, and it's so much fear. And I definitely feel that I'm in this void time at the moment. And I've been here lots of times before, so I know that it'll come to an end. That's a very nice difference to have. But it's a constant barrage of the worry and the fears and the blocks and the heaviness and everything just trying to keep me small. And it's that kind of almost like you said, that pop trying to get through. I mean, like, oh God, when's that pop going to come? But right now it's just wading through the shit, to be honest. So
I think what I do know that excitement does is that because we're here to grow and develop, we are always in the constant element of change. This is just what it is. We're all playing the same game. So nothing is going to give you that feeling of mediocrity. Your journey will always have that one step ahead that is going to feel uncomfortable, that element of change. And that's what excitement also does. It gives you the exciting feeling of having this creation, because you received the creation, you liked what it felt like, you started working with it, you started planning it, and in the planning and working of it, you started creating this momentum called excitement. This excitement is the push, the pop element for you to action out something to create that excitement. But excitement will always push you to a place of, maybe I don't want to do it. Maybe I don't want to go here. And it's not a big step. It's just little steps, because your excitement is not asking you to create everything in 1 second. It's asking you to go through a journey of counting little wins on top of little wins. So by the time you get to the grand finale, you've had a journey of lots of little wins where you've learned things, where you've not liked things, you change it because you've been pulled by excitement, by this vision that you had. So don't be too hard on yourself, because sometimes you have to go off this excitement road to learn something, to get back onto the excitement road so you can be a better version or create a better version for what you want.
Absolutely. And it's the little steps. I think you mentioned it in one of your workshops. It was the step by step. Because I think, yeah, you have this big vision, this big dream, and sometimes it can just be so overwhelming and it's too big and you just don't do anything. And the kind of excitement just stops. And it's actually what I've been doing is, okay, I've got my list. I've broken it down as much as I can, and just taking one step a day, just keeping almost like fueling the fire, just keeping it going and going. And it's still that struggle, because it's like, oh, I think for me, it's the intuition it's the ideas dropped in or whatever it is. And it's the difference between feeling that it's not right and my intuition saying no versus the fear. And it's the kind of, is this my intuition just saying, no, that was a good idea at that time, but now things have changed or something. Or for me, is it, no, this is just fear, and you've just got to keep going through it, and you've got to keep taking the step through. And that's obviously taken a long time I'm still learning the difference between the two, because I think every chapter you go into, you're expanding and it's going to be bigger fears and bigger. And you're like, oh, I worked through that already. No, you're going through it again. You're going to go through it again.
Well, this is the thing. There are two elements here that I always say to people is when they've got a fear, I always say, just let's go through it for a second. So you're working through something and there's a fear element. Now you had the excitement and fear came in. That is your intuition saying, hey, Allah, you're off track. You've gone off on a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have an issue with it. There's nothing, there's not a good or bad, and there's not right and wrong. You just went off. You're not following your excitement, because when you're following your excitement, it's the universe saying, hey, I got your back. You're safe. Mm-hmm. You're good to go, 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 go. Nothing's going to happen yet. It's only going to be good. But the minute you go off that vibration and you get into fear, my question is like, what excitement do you hold then? It's okay to experience the fear, because sometimes you have to. But my question would be, how do you get back on track? By asking, what is my excitement about this? And the fear will drop away, because it won't ever come up as I'm a number one when you're asking about what is your excitement about that. Mm-hmm. It will always say, well, I don't like this. I want this. And then you will naturally go back to your journey of excitement. But you've learned something in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
Like, yes. And that's the other thing. Why do I keep on saying yes, yes to people? Because that's a frequency that the body recognizes as a strong yes. The body recognizes the frequency as being, I'm safe, I'm good to go, all is well, because frequency is so strong. When you go no, that kind of body softens. It's exactly how you work with a pendulum. The body softens and says, this is not my truth. Because the body doesn't recognize no as an element of excitement. It only knows its pureness of yes. Mm-hmm. What you were saying early on about, you know, is it my intuition that is saying no? How about this one for you? Your intuition will never tell you no.
Mm.
It will always be your ego that will say no. And it makes sense because your ego is there to protect you. The ego is there to make sure that you don't do what you know, it's the protector against what you remember, something you went through that was not good for you. So the ego's job is to protect you from having that happen again. So it will say no to it. It recognizes something that is not right for you, as the intuition recognizes something that is accurate for you. So the intuition is coming from the higher power, from the higher source. And when no comes in, and it's a big no, it's the intuition giving the ego the concept of no to pull you away so you can get back into alignment with excitement. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm.
So I've never really spoken about ego being good or being bad. I just recognize that everything in this pot of soup requires itself to be there. So ego is a protector of my soul. You know, fear is there to remind me of something that I remember that happened to me that I didn't like, and its job is to remind me. So you don't want to remember, so it just says no. But ask yourself, what am I afraid of?
Mm.
What's the story that sits behind that?
Yeah.
And if you just in your silence sits with a cup of tea, and you ask yourself, what is the story behind fear? And you keep on asking, you will come to the actual solution of it. You'll come to the belief of it.
Mm.
And once you have the belief and you recognize what shit it's caused you and how it stopped you from moving forward and how it hasn't supported you on your journey and slowed you down and how you are relating to your life in such a different way, and you see it doesn't serve me anymore, you don't need to go to a therapist to fix it. Your body naturally, in default, will say, okay, I get it. Don't need it anymore. What do I want? Well, I want this, which is the thing that you really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're programmed to go for what you want, what your belief is. It's not so complicated. It's not so difficult.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that you need to go to therapy and you need to go to, but we are so divinely created that we know how to fix ourselves. And this is the passion. This is the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everybody learns it, then you are powerful.
Yeah. No, I agree. In theory, we are all innately healers and we can all heal ourselves and we don't need anyone else, but it's just, we've switched off completely from that. And it's that process. Yeah, absolutely. And what would you suggest?
And it's so frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. Because everyone asks me, do you know what you do as a energy healer? Do you think everyone can do it? And I say, yes, of course. But we're not. We're not taught about it. We're not taught to listen to our bodies and things. So how would you, if someone's listening and they're thinking, okay, I get it. I get the concept. I get their idea, but I haven't felt excitement for years. How on earth do I even begin to tap into that? What does that even feel like? Where do I begin?
Chill, for starters. Just chill out. It's actually not complicated. It's not that, I get it. I've been there. I know what it feels like. It's overwhelming. Mm. You feel like you've got no air, life. You know, I've lost my excitement. I can't find my joy.
Mm.
You know, it's I get that frustration, that overwhelmness of life is over. I can't get it. I think chill, you know, for starters, even if you are in that low vibration of shame, embarrassment, frustration, guilt, overwhelm, irritation, jealousy, and there are many more of those that vibrations, you are, how do I say it? How do you get back into, you have to acknowledge the victimhood of where you're at. And you have to honor it. And you have to own it as yours. Because in owning it, you have responsibility with it. So even in that lowness, what is the next excitement that you want to feel? Mm-hmm. What is, I'm down, I'm out, I'm depressed, I don't want to leave the bedroom, I don't want to leave the lounge, I don't want to leave, I don't want to see, I just want to eat Cheerios. What is my next excitement? If your next excitement is making a cup of tea, then do that for as much as you can, for as long as you can, until you no longer can. And when you finish that little journey, it's what my next excitement. It might be go to sleep. Then you go to sleep. You give yourself permission because that's the next excitement from the shit that you're feeling. And then you go to sleep and you wake up. And now what? What's my next excitement? Still feeling what I felt an hour or 2 hours ago, but I've done two or three things that's following that excitement. They're nothing major. It's stacking the wins. What's my next excitement? Well, it might just be to go and fetch my children instead of letting them walk home from school. Huh. You can see the vibration is already shifting just by what I'm saying.
Mm.
You're now getting out and you're going to fetch your kids because that's the next excitement. You do it as much as you can for as long as you can until you no longer can. So you feed off it. Like, what's my next excitement? What else must I do to feel, to keep this excitement going? And you will hear it. You will feel it. You will know it because it's the next excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to go to sleep for 3 days. That might be your next excitement. You have to honor it because it's a feeling. And as you start choosing your way into your next excitements and you do it for as much as you can, for as long as you can, until you no longer can, that's when that excitement's done. You might take 3 deep breaths, but you're not going to choose at that point to fight. But say you do fight with somebody. So now your excitement's gone. Mm-hmm. Now you've just had an argument which has stolen that excitement. Sweetheart, it's all about practice. So when you've finished having that fight, you can ask yourself, what's my next excitement? Well, I don't want to be near that person. I want to be in another bedroom. I want to be outside. I want to go and visit my friend. I want to go for a walk. And then do that, because when you follow the excitement, you're raising your vibration. You're raising the frequency from where you were.
Mm.
You might come back from the walk feeling excited and mellow and in your presence and good. You come back to fight again. You might decide while you're fighting, what's my next excitement? Not to fight, just to walk away. You might do that again. And you might do that. You might realize, oh, every time I walk away, I feel so much better. I like this feeling. You come back, you fight again. You might decide at this point to say, I'm no longer fighting. Something will happen. Something different will, your excitement will never stay the same. But you will have the same feeling that is attached to your excitement.
Mm.
So you start to recognize the feeling more than what you're recognizing the excitement. And if you practice, your excitement feeling and mine are the same feeling. You don't have a special signature to your exciting feeling. It's the same vibration. It's the same frequency. It's the same for everybody. The idea is to recognize what that feels like and then act on the feeling called excitement that takes us to the action, which you now do. Because you have to always do excitement and action.
Mm-hmm.
Excitement and action. Excitement and action. And that those two, if you take the action away, you'll just sit with excitement. You just stay in your head and nothing changes.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Yeah, and you just reminded me something.
Your question.
Yes, of three, four years ago now, when I just felt that I was just empty and I had absolutely no idea who I was, what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be. And someone said to me every single morning, wake up and say, what do you want to do today? And it was exactly that. It was the tapping into discovering what I wanted, not what anyone else wanted.
Exactly.
And it was such a, it woke me up for the first time. And I was like, what do you mean? What do I want? And it was such a liberating, empowering experience of it didn't have to make sense. That was take the logic out of it. And it was, again, I think that's what I've spoken about it before, but why I came off social media, because there's so many things telling us what's good for us. You take a cold shower, do you go for a walk in the sunshine within an hour of waking up, all of this information. But actually it's like, well, what do you want to do? Does that excite you? Or does that bore you out of your mind? Definitely. What do you want to do?
Completely.
And yeah, I think it's just keep coming back to get out of the head and what do you want to do? What is going to bring you excitement today? Just one thing, and just follow that.
I think also one of the elements of following your excitement is that it starts in the head and it lands in the heart. You know, we're so self-judging that we only think, like some of us saying, I'm very mental about everything. Yes, and they struggle because there's an imbalance. You know, my baby toe is as important as my heart, but it hasn't got the function, but we need them all.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, especially with males and females, they think that the head is like, oh, I'm very practical and I'm very masculine and but it's not balanced. You tap into your heart as much as you tap into your, and it's difficult if you are programmed with one being stronger than the other. Mm-hmm. And my excitement is about helping people understand that it's completely okay and beautiful to tap into the heart area, because that heart area sends you into purpose. There is no, it's my belief, personal belief structure, but I don't believe that one person who's only in their head can be as happy as someone who has both of them. No. Mm. And if you just follow your heart, that's my stronger area. Following my head is a lot harder for me, but I know it's necessary for me to reach that excitement and that level of joy and grace that I'm looking for. And every now and again, I'm blessed with having them in balance. And I feel that sense of gratitude. Mm. And that's when I know, wow, something is working right. I'm in balance here with both top and bottom. And then I just milk that. I just flipping milk it, milk it, milk it. I'm grateful for having my head not in one place. I want more. I'm grateful for sitting on this chair talking to you. I want more. I'm grateful for having people listening to me and thinking that I'm brilliant. I want more. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I have the ability to influence people. I want more. All of a sudden, because that's the excitement. When you reach grace, when you reach gratitude, the universe doesn't know the difference between gratitude and shame. It only knows it as a frequency. It only knows it as a vibration. It's not masculine. It's not feminine. It's not a human being. It's an energy. It will match the energy. So when you say, I'm grateful, the universe says, she's grateful. Oh, what is she grateful about? Having more people listen to her. Okay, more people listen to her.
Mm.
That's the excitement. When I'm about to have a fight with somebody or an argument or a disagreement or a positioning that I'm not comfortable in, before I even begin, I say in my head, I am grateful for having a peaceful and communicative dialogue with this person. I want more. It's certainly not happen, but I've already placed it in such a way that it is happening in my head and in my heart, and I'm expecting that. And then I go, and it's not as bad as what I thought it would be, which is most people will say the same thing.
Yep. For me, it's the intention setting. So even before the podcast, it was, what's the intention for this?
Exactly.
So it's,
exactly.
Or every single morning, my intention for today is this, this, this. And job done. There's no other option, really.
Because the universe will lead you through the intention that you had. But people struggle also with intention, that they almost feel like they're not clever, they just don't know how. Yeah. They simply don't know how. They don't know what an intention is and what the importance of an intention is.
Mm.
Intention is about, I'm setting the theme for my day energetically and vibrationally so that I am going to where I'm focusing. I've been focused. So if my intention is to be calm and in my presence, then you start, you know, the program is there, the invitation is there, the universe is pulling you. And because you put it into your head, you felt it, and you have that excitement now going, you are aware of it throughout your day. Because mm-hmm. what are we all looking for at the end of the day? What are we all looking for? We all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. We all want to be joyful. We want grace. We all want the same thing. They're not some people that don't want and other people's do. We all want to be in the more positive side of things.
Yeah.
But we just simply don't have the tools. We don't have the one mm-hmm. plus one.
Yeah. And something that just popped in was, if someone, okay, maybe is tapping into this excitement. Have you ever experienced that you don't want to go down that route? And it's that, whoop, like, yes. Well, I know what it is. I know that excitement, but actually I'm just going to ignore it. And why? Why exactly. do we do that?
Thank you so much for listening to part one of this episode. Make sure you come back next week for part two and find out why we avoid our excitement. See you next week.